Open your Bibles, please, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew tonight. Matthew chapter 6. For those of you that are visiting with us, we're currently in the fourth message of a series that I've entitled Learning to Forgive. In our first message in this series, we establish the fact that true forgiveness emanates from God. He is the example. He is the only one that has the grace to give to us, whereby we might have the capacity to forgive others that offend us as He would have us. In the second message, we saw that according to the words of the Lord Jesus, we need to expect to be offended. Jesus said it was impossible that offenses would come, but that offenses would come. And we looked at the fact that, listen, you can't get through life. I mean, in the scriptures, we saw that even John the Baptist was offended at Jesus and Jesus' dealings with him when he was in prison. And Jesus made the statement to John through the messengers that he sent to convince him that indeed he was the Messiah. He adds this, and blessed is he that's not offended me. And the point was, if God can't get away without offending us from time to time, what hope do the rest of us have towards one another? We're going to find ourselves offended. We need to understand that. And last week in the message, we looked at the types of offenses or degrees of offenses. And we saw that there are some offenses that we just need to overlook. Because Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'm paraphrasing, that we should not take too seriously what we hear other people saying about us, because we know there have been times that we have talked to others just like it. And because of that truth, there are just times that we need to realize that other people are human just like we are, and not to take too seriously the things that they might do towards us. Second type of offense we saw were that there are offenses that we can overlook. Proverbs says it's to our glory to overlook a transgression. There are times that we can make the choice just not to be offended by God's grace. But then we saw that there are offenses that we should not overlook. Matthew chapter 18 says in such a case we should go to the individual and talk to them about that offense. Well, tonight is the fourth message and in this series of Learning to Forgive. And I've entitled it, You Must Learn to Forgive Others. You must learn to forgive others. We come to understand from the Scriptures that forgiveness is a choice that each of us must make when we have been offended. We've all heard once someone say, I just can't forgive them for what they did. In fact, maybe you've even said that. Maybe you've said it recently. Understand that that's not true for a Christian. As a Christian, we can forgive anyone for anything that they might do to us. If this were not so, God would not command us to forgive others their offenses towards us. Jesus' death for us, the power of His resurrection, has made the very grace that He exercised on the cross when He said, Father, forgive them, when no one was asking for forgiveness. That same grace that He exhibited through our relationship with Him, He has made that grace available to us. For a Christian to say, I can't forgive, is to say, in effect, that Christ is impotent. That He does not have the power to enable us to do something that He would command us to do. For a child of God to say, I won't forgive, is to defy the very purpose of redemption. We each need to understand that for us as Christians, our forgiveness of others is not an option. If you value the peace of Christ ruling in your heart, if you value your physical and emotional health, and most of all, if you value a close, intimate relationship with the Lord, you must learn to forgive others the offenses they cause. Let's pray and go to the Word, and I will show you why. Father, thank You this evening for the truth of Your Word, for the counsel that it is to us in every aspect of our life. Thank You for the grace that is available to us through the redemption that Christ has won for us. Thank You for the presence of Your Spirit that enables us to do anything that You have called upon us to do. Father, this matter of offenses and forgiveness is right where we live. And Father, I pray that Your people would have ears to hear tonight. I pray for those that are struggling even tonight with this very issue, that they would understand what's at stake, that they would understand their giving forgiveness to others. It's something that is necessary for them to do, regardless of the other person. And Father, I pray that You would accomplish Your best for Your children tonight, and that would glorify You. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask it. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. The first reason I see in Scripture is why it is absolutely necessary that you and I learn to forgive others is because, according to the words of the Lord Jesus, the intimacy of your relationship with God is based upon your ability to forgive others the wrongs that they do to you. Let me repeat that. The intimacy of your relationship with God, according to the words of the Lord Jesus, is based, at least in part, upon your ability to forgive others the offenses that they cause against you. Matthew chapter 6 is a familiar portion of the Sermon on the Mount. And I'd like to begin reading in verse number 12, Jesus said in this portion of what has become known as the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes we refer to it as the disciples' prayer because later the disciples asked, Lord, teach us how to pray, as John taught his disciples how to pray. And this was the model prayer that Jesus used. But I want you to notice in verse number 12, Jesus says that we should pray and forgive us our debts, our transgressions, as we forgive our debtors, or those that transgress against us. The idea is, Father, forgive me in the same way I forgive those who transgress against me. Verse number 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, listen to this warning, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, notice Jesus refers to this individual as having a son-father relationship. This is clearly, I believe, instruction for the child of God. The model of how you and I are supposed to be praying. And Jesus says we're supposed to be praying to the Father, Father, forgive me in the same way I forgive those that trespass against me. And Jesus adds to that, he warns. Verse number 14 again, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, folks, I do not believe salvation can be lost. If this is instruction to a child of God, regardless of whatever else it might be, it is not the loss of salvation because you've got an unforgiving spirit. But, folks, I would suggest this, because the loss of salvation for a child of God is not possible, it's not even part of the equation, I would suggest to you this is the worst possible thing that could happen to a genuine child of God. Because God says that if we are unwilling to forgive others, God is unwilling to forgive us. I conclude from that, If I'm unwilling to forgive someone that offends me, that God is going to deal with me with the same attitude that I'm expressing towards that individual. Now, I want you to think about that. How do you act when you don't forgive someone? I've got some experience in this. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself. You see whether you can identify with this. Sorry, Pastor John. Imagine if an offense took place between Pastor John and I. He was the offender. He offended me. He offended me, and I made the decision that I was not going to forgive him for the offense. And I felt justified in that. Now, let me tell you how I would respond to this man. First of all, I would say that my emotions towards him would be towards him as an individual, not towards you. What I mean is, because my offense is with him, my relationship with you might be just absolutely wonderful. I would see you and be glad to see you. I would be glad to be around you. I could look you in the eye. I would rejoice in our relationship. But if I've got an unforgiving spirit towards him, my relationship with him is totally different. Here's some of the symptoms that I would display. I would be angry at him. I would not want to see him. I do not want to be around him. I do not want to think about him. Can you identify with those feelings? Because after all, he's offended me. If he were to call me, I might be benevolent enough in my flesh, in my unforgiving spirit, to take his telephone call. But he sure better not ask me to do anything for him. Because if he would, in my carnal state, I would look at him and say, you have got a lot of nerve. Now, folks, I would submit to you, you don't want God treating you the way that I have just treated John Mady. But God says, if I am unwilling to forgive him, God is going to be unwilling to forgive me. And I conclude in his holiness, he is going to be responding to me in holy kind. That he is going to be stepping back and communicating to me, all is not well between you and me, son, because all is not well between you and your brother when I've told you to forgive. Now, folks, I told you that I do not believe that this is talking about a person losing their salvation because they're unwilling to forgive someone. But let me tell you what I do believe it is. I believe the person that is unwilling to forgive very shortly will begin to feel as if they have lost their salvation. Because you know the main assurance of our salvation? Fellowship with God. Being able to get down on our knees and talk to Him with a clear conscience and know that He is dealing with our hearts. To be able to sit in the services and have the Word of God burn when we hear it. To go through the day and just to see His fingerprints on the day and know He is around. He is working in my life. And because we would be so stubborn, so proud, so unchristlike, that we would be unwilling to offer the same forgiveness towards others that God has offered towards us, God takes it seriously and says, you are going to know that I've got a problem with it if you're not willing to forgive. Now, folks, I want you to notice something else about this prayer. Notice, if you would, in verse number 11. Jesus says we are to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Now, you know what I conclude from that? Jesus assumed, if we were actually interested in learning how to pray, Jesus assumed that we'd be praying every day. He assumed that we would come to Him if we're interested in praying right and asking God every single day to meet the needs of our day. Right? So I would also conclude that this means concerning this matter of forgiveness, we've got to keep a short account. We're not going to be able to get through one day with an unforgiving spirit towards someone else before we begin to reap the consequences of that attitude. Every single day when we meet with God in prayer, one of the things that we all recognize that we should be doing is talking to the Lord about our sins, about our failures, asking God to forgive us where our conscience can be clear with Him, where there can be nothing between us and God. And Jesus linked this matter of us asking forgiveness in direct relationship. The example is we are asking forgiveness the way we forgive others. Therefore, folks, you need to take the matter of learning to forgive others very seriously, not let the sun set on your wrath or an unforgiving spirit. Because the minute that you do, God is going to start dealing with you spiritually on that day the way you're treating that person that you need to forgive. And folks, might I add, it has nothing to do with whether they're worthy. Because there was not one of us that was worthy or deserving of His forgiveness. Not one of us. He gave it. He gave it before we even had the sense to ask for it. And He is the example. Number two. Your capacity to forgive others must be limitless. Your capacity to forgive others must be limitless. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 18. I'll show you what I mean. Of course, Matthew 18 is the passage that we have been in the past couple of weeks. Verse number 7, Jesus said, "Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come." It's not will they, it's they will. "But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." Matthew 18:15, "Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, offend thee, go and tell him his faults between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Verse number 21, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." The Gospel of Luke places this in a little bit different context. Peter said, how many times in a day? Seven times? Jesus said, no, 70 times seven, for those of you that want to count. The idea is you should forgive your brother as often as he needs to be forgiven, as often as he offends, as often as he offends in a day, as often as the same brother repeatedly offends on any given day. Jesus says you are to forgive. Our forgiveness should be limitless. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 17. Now, I hope you know yourself, and I hope you're being honest with yourself right now. Because if you know yourself and you're being honest with yourself, some of you are saying right now, oh God, help me, because there ain't no way. And you know what? You're way on the other side of the curve if that's the way you're responding. Because you need to understand that the ability to forgive comes from God. Most of the time, your emotions are not going to be any support in forgiveness. You don't want to forgive the person. You want to kill the person. And you've got to get over that real quickly. You don't want to forgive the person. You want to be mad at the person. You want to get even with the person. That might be your honest feelings, but let me tell you something. Jesus is saying through the Scriptures, you need to understand you don't have that option. And if you think you are so spiritual that you can forgive in and of your own strength consistently, just hang on. Sooner or later, something is going to happen that you are going to realize beyond any shadow of a doubt your spiritual poverty and your inability to forgive another person. And you know what it's going to do? The Scriptures are going to drive you to your knees in honesty. And you're going to say honestly to the Lord, "Lord, I cannot do this." And what you're saying is, "I cannot do this in my own strength." To be honest with you, I do not want to do it in my own strength. But there is something greater than my self-will in this, and that is my desire to be pleasing to you. My desire to be right and do the right thing, and because of that, in my impotency, I fall before you and I ask you, give me the grace to do the right thing with the right heart attitude. And is in His strength, we get up and we do that we don't have the ability to do. But please do not use the excuse, "I don't feel like it. I don't feel led to. I can't do it." Christ died and rose again, not just to remove sin's penalty, but to give us the power to have victory over sin in our life, our own sin. Luke 17, verse number 3. Jesus says, "Take heed to yourself." Notice He does not say, "Take heed to the other person." "Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." Now I know the wheels are turning on some of you already. That's all you needed to see. Because you're saying, "Hot dogs, if they do not ask for forgiveness, I do not have to give it." Remember, we compare spiritual things with spiritual things. We're supposed to rightly divide the Word of God. This is covering the side that they come to you and they ask for forgiveness. You are supposed to forgive them. But folks, I would remind you that this is not a support for the fact, if they don't come, I don't have to forgive them. Was any of the men that were responsible for putting Jesus Christ on the cross, were any of them coming to Him asking forgiveness while He was being nailed to the cross? But He understood, and He is our example, He understood the seriousness of forgiveness, and though no one was asking, He was saying to the Father, "Father, forgive them." He obviously had forgiven them. And He had forgiven them to the point that from His heart, He was pleading with His Father to forgive them for what they were doing to Him. How about Stephen when he is stoned? Acts chapter 7. "Father, lay not this sin to their account." How about that portion of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 43, "You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good unto them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and unjust." How could this person respond this way to his enemies if he had not forgiven them? And folks, realizing if they had come and asked for forgiveness, they probably wouldn't have been his enemies. You have a responsibility to forgive your offenders immediately, whether they ever come to you and ask for forgiveness or not. Because I'll promise you this, if you don't, very quickly you will find out that God is not using their coming or not coming as an excuse. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, you'll feel the impact of it immediately. We were not designed as God's people to carry around an unforgiving spirit. Verse number 4. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn to thee and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now listen to verse number 5. And the apostle said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. So, hey, listen, if you're, some of you are struggling with this limitless forgiveness, that's okay. The apostles were too. But I want you to listen to what Jesus said to them. He told a parable. And the Lord said, if ye had a faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come in from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow, or think not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, folks, I'll confess to you, this is a perplexing parable, but I'll give you my best shot on it. The disciples, when they heard what Jesus held out as the standard of forgiveness, they thought their problem was a faith problem. He said, in effect, your problem's not a faith problem. Because if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could verbally pluck trees up by the roots. Your problem is an obedience problem. Your problem is a submission problem. He tells this story of this servant. And he says, what man would have a servant that he would allow him to come in out of the field and he would say to him, go feed yourself. And after you're all done feeding yourself, you come and take care of me. He says, is that the way it works with a servant? No, the way it works with a servant is he comes in from the field, you say, fix my meal. After you've fixed your meal, you can come fix mine. And if that is all the servant does, you say to that servant, you're an unprofitable servant because all you have done is what is required of you. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I would like to have a relationship with the Lord that he doesn't look at me and say, well, you know what, Bruce? The truth of the matter is you are an unprofitable servant because all you do is the minimum. All you do is what is required, what is commanded of you. You won't do it unless you have to do it. I believe Jesus is saying your problem is not with faith. Your problem is a heart problem. You just don't want to do what is your responsibility. And folks, when it comes to this matter of forgiveness, not only should we do it because it is our responsibility and we know it's our responsibility, but we should go above and beyond and we should do it in the spirit that Christ forgave us. Do you think he forgave us begrudgingly? And folks, I want to reiterate. If you're trying to forgive people in your own strength, not only are you missing the point, you are dishonoring God. Works don't impress God prior to salvation, and fleshly works don't impress God after salvation. There is only one place that we can find the grace to forgive others the way God forgave us, and that is from God. And if you spend enough time before God preparing your heart to forgive someone that has offended you, let me tell you something. Not only can you do it, but you can do it with a good attitude. It is amazing. It is amazing what God can do to change your heart if you will talk to Him honestly about what you're struggling with and ask Him for the grace to do it. Number three. Not only does your capacity to forgive others need to be limitless, but your forgiveness of others must be real. Must be real. Turn, if you would, back to Matthew chapter 18. Jesus told another parable in this chapter. That explains to us that God is not interested in lip service. He's not interested in show. He's interested in forgiveness being given from the heart freely, the way He forgives. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse number 23. Jesus says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents." This was an astronomical amount of money. An amount that could never reasonably ever be paid back in a lifetime by this servant. "But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me that thou owest.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' But he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?' And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him." Now listen to verse number 35. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Now, folks, let me tell you something. When you read this story and you hear how upset the king got with this servant because of his unforgiving spirit, and you read that he is going to deliver this servant to the tormentors for punishment, and then the Bible says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you," folks, that's rather concerning, wouldn't you say? God takes our unforgiving spirit seriously. Because it is a total contradiction of the work that Christ did on the cross for us, and we're supposed to be called the children of God. We are the ones in the parable that owed the great debt, that said, have mercy on us. And the Lord, the King, turned to us and said, I flatly forgive you the entire debt. We are the ones that our fellow servants do a little something against us. And spiritually, we grab them by the throat. We put them into our prison. We punish them. And we tell them, in effect, we're not going to let you out until I am satisfied. How dare us? How dare us? Our crimes against God causing the death of His Son are unspeakable. Nothing anyone has ever done, ever will do against you, will ever compare to what you are responsible in offense towards God. But He freely forgave you. And the line from verse number 35 that I want you to see is that forgiveness is from the heart. Hey, listen. Anybody can force themselves in the flesh to say, I forgive you. But folks, God makes it very clear that He does not first look on the mouth. He first looks on the heart. Remember the statement that He made to some of His followers early in His ministry? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? God in the Old Testament said of Israel, this people draw near to me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. God said to Samuel, no, Samuel, you look on the outside. I look on the heart. And folks, you see, it's not only from the treasure of an evil heart that wickedness proceeds, but it is from the treasure of a good heart that good works proceed. And folks, I would submit to you, yes, you might buffet your flesh. You might psych yourself up. You and your own pride might be able to compel yourself to communicate to someone else you're forgiven because you think that's the right thing to do. But only God can give you the ability to free someone from the heart and to forgive them from the heart. And anything less is not forgiveness from God's standpoint, and we are in trouble with Him. Folks, how has God spoken to your heart tonight? Is this the type of message that you've heard and you would say, honestly, this was good. I need to be reminded of this. I saw some things that God spoke to my heart about that I need to remember. Because I know it won't be long before I have to put into practice what I've heard tonight. Or would you say, in a very special way, I'm here by providential appointment tonight. Because the minute that you started in, God brought somebody to mind. that I've had in a prison of my own making. They offended me. And I've been unwilling to forgive them from the heart. And I know now, though you've probably known for a while, the reason you're so dried up inside, the reason that you think that your relationship with the Lord is on such poor terms, is because you have been unwilling to forgive this person. Indeed, maybe you don't want to tonight. Indeed, maybe you don't know where to start. But folks, let me tell you something. That's okay. Because the place that you need to start is on your face before God and say, "Oh God, I'm wrong. My attitude has been wrong. My response has been wrong. It's been sinful. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And give me the grace to get this settled before you tonight, to be able to appropriate from you the grace to forgive them from my heart, that first of all, your and my relationship might be restored. And that there might be hope that I get restored with the person that has offended me." Folks, it's your choice. Always has been. But I want to tell you something. Bitterness, pride, anger, you can keep it. You can keep it. But you'll keep it at a great and terrible price. No, you won't lose your salvation, but let me tell you something. It'll only be a matter of time before you think that you have lost your salvation, because you will be so empty in your relationship with God. It's just not worth it. Let it go. You're not perfect either. You have offended others on numerous occasions, every bit as seriously as the person that you're not letting go. Let it go. It has gone on far enough. There's grace tonight available for you. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Sing a song of invitation. And extend a time of invitation. If you're here tonight and uncertain of your relationship with Jesus Christ, you could not say with confidence if you were to die tonight that you'd go to heaven, I'm going to be down front. If you'd step out just on the first word of this first verse and share that with me, I'd have someone sit down with you with an open Bible and explain to you what it means to trust Christ as Savior, where you can know for sure tonight, beyond any shadow of doubt, that your sins are forgiven, that God has accepted you, and you're on your way to heaven. If you're a child of God, surely you know how God has spoken to your heart. I would simply exhort you to respond in a way that is pleasing to Him and will bring His blessings upon you in this matter. Father, thank you tonight for the truth of your word. Lord, we know that we live in a world that holds grudges and would encourage us to do that. But Father, we also understand that by your grace we're part of a kingdom where the rules are different. You expect far more of us because we have experienced your forgiveness. Father, I pray tonight, whatever you desire to accomplish in individual hearts and lives, that you would. And Father, I pray that you would seal this word to our heart, that whether we need it tonight or whether we need it tomorrow, that its truth would be heard in our heart, that it might bolster us and it might direct us, that we might respond the right way. Give us grace to do so. We pray and ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn, if you would, to hymn number 438. Search me, O God. And as we sing, if you have need, you come.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise Thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill Thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned shame. Grant my desire to magnify Thy name.
Let's pray together as we're dismissed tonight. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word once again. Thank You for how Your Word works in our heart and our lives. Father, thank You that You change us. Father, it started at salvation. We understand from Your Word from Corinthians that we were a new creature, brand new creation in Christ, in You. And then, Father, the opportunity that we have to be molded by You. Father, mold us into Your likeness. And Father, in this area of forgiveness, You know our hearts, Lord. You know how we like to stay bitter, Father. You know how we like to hold our feelings and keep them to ourselves and not offer forgiveness. I pray You'd work on us, Father. Our desire is to be like You. Our desire is to be led by You. And Father, we would pray that You'd help us to have forgiving spirits. We understand from Your Word, as pastors taught us, that offenses must come. They will come. Father, help us to take a time like this on a Sunday evening to prepare our hearts for that time when it comes. May it be tomorrow or the next day, Lord, that we're ready with a forgiving spirit. We've learned much, Father. We have much to learn, and we need Your help, and we need Your strength. We want to make good decisions, Lord, spiritual decisions that will honor You. Heavenly Father, it's been good to be in Your house tonight. You're our great Heavenly Father, and we worshiped You today, and it was wonderful. We ask You to be with us, Father, as we head into our work week. Be with us as we witness, as we work, Father. Give us safety, protect us and our families. And Father, know that we love You so very much. And we ask these things in Your Son's precious name. Amen.